Welcome back to Goal Line Stuff, the show where we talk about anything and everything football related. I'm Alex Kirkchief.
And I'm Michael San Antonio. And boy, do we have a show for you today. So off-season news is heating up. A lot of great things are happening around the league right now. The NFL Combine is going on as we speak. Players are doing drills, running the 40. There was that huge, thing with the 40-yard dash where guys were running 4.2s and 4.3s and everyone was freaking out. And then we realized that those were the unofficial times and that the times were actually way slower than that. So, there was a little craziness already in NFL Combine world, but there's also been a lot of stuff going around the league, and we have a lot to talk about today. So on our agenda, we're going to be talking about Amari Cooper and his situation with the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to be talking about J.C. Jackson and his contract, potential future contract. We're going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're going to be talking about the Cardinals and all of their extensions. We're going to be talking about Tyreek Hill and his extension. And we're also going to be talking about the Washington Commanders and their search for a quarterback. And then after that, we're going to continue our worst to first little series that we have going on. And we're going to cover the NFC for this one. So Giants, Lions, Panthers, and Seahawks. So we have a pretty busy episode today. We really hope you enjoy this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And this is kind of the calm before the storm because, we still have about a week or two before everything gets so much crazier in the NFL. So this episode is kind of nice because, we get to talk more about like potential stuff that's happening. But, once it happens, we're going to have a lot more to talk about. So, yeah, this one's more just kind of relaxing, fun, just some creative things that we decided to do. Let's start talking about this Amari Cooper situation, Alex. Maybe talk, where do you think Amari Cooper ranks among receivers in the NFL at this point?
Well, I mean, we did a top 10 receivers list earlier this year, and Amari Cooper was not on either of our lists. And I would have to say, personally speaking, he wasn't very close to mine either. He's pretty clearly not the best receiver on his own now former team anymore. CeeDee Lamb definitely overlapped him this year, and they're prioritizing keeping Gallup over him, which to me, that's a little questionable, but that's, I guess, how the Cowboys feel about him. And so I think Amari Cooper, you could comfortably put top 20, 25 in the league. When he's on, he's really good, as we saw in the first game of the season this year. But the problem with that is that it was only in the first game of the season this year. He's just way too inconsistent, and he finds ways to disappear at the end of the season, and a lot when he plays in cold weather, where it's got to be the right situation for him. And that's what Dallas looked like at first, but even that fell out. So
a lot like you said, he's very like off and on, it seems like. Like, yeah, he's a great receiver, but some games he looks like one of the best receivers in the league, and then some games he just gets shut down. And, Gallup is getting more targets than him. Schultz is getting more targets than him. Zeke is even getting more targets than him. There's games like that. And so ultimately, I think, at least in my opinion, this move is more so to do with CeeDee Lamb becoming the number one receiver in that offense. And Amari Cooper is just too expensive. I mean, yeah. You've seen the reports. If they cut him, that's 16 mil freed up right away. So, I personally think that Gallup is much cheaper than Cooper. And, I know Cooper is definitely better, but I think Gallup fits the team better right now for what they're trying to do. So I do see why they would prioritize Gallup over Cooper. But at the same time, I think it's kind of crazy that they're, letting go such a great talent. I want to make it clear that they haven't let him go yet. He's still on the team. He will be let go or traded sometime in the future.
At the new year. So basically in the next week.
Yeah. And which do you think it'll be? I mean, I think he's probably going to get cut. I don't think someone's going to make a trade for him.
Oh, no. They're cutting him. They're trying to
trade him, but I don't think they're going to be able to find it.
No, they won't. Cause no one wants to pay him that contract. Like he'll still get a pretty sizable deal, I would say, once he hits free agency, but I don't know that it'll be as big as it is now. In fact, like I said, with the way he disappears at the end of seasons, I will never forget 2 years ago, he was on my fantasy team and it was near playoff time, fantasy playoff time. And I needed a big week. Or no, I didn't even need a big week. I needed a decent week from Amari Cooper. And the Cowboys were playing the Patriots in Foxborough. And it was like rainy. It was poor weather game. And my man Amari Cooper straight up goosed me. And ever since then, along with him being on the Cowboys, he's just not a fan favorite of mine. Would not be mad at the Eagles signing Amari Cooper.
Fair. I would personally take him. You know, I do agree with what you said. I do not like him, but I would take him if I could. He's a great player. I think he is still a wide receiver one wherever he could possibly go. I think he's a wide receiver one. And I think there's a lot of good fits for him. I think let's start talking about some fits. Obviously, we just said the Eagles. One team that I like also in our division is the Commanders. I think that, you know, especially if they get a young quarterback in the draft or through some other means, I think that, you know, him and Terry would be a great way to kick off that offense. They already have Gibson. I think that's a great fit. You know, there's obviously other ones. What do you think besides the Eagles is another good fit for Amari Cooper?
See, I do see where you're coming from with the Commanders, but that is predicated on them getting a young quarterback, which I feel like they're probably going to go for a veteran. So I don't know that they would have the money to do something like, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo getting paid $20-something million a year, plus Amari Cooper getting paid, you know, 17, 18. So a fit that I do like, although they would have to get some creative ways to make the money work, is Cleveland. I think Cleveland is desperately lacking a number one receiver, and they could definitely use him the way that that Odell should have been used when they first traded for him. So I think that could be a good fit.
Yeah, I've seen Cleveland. A lot of people talk about Cleveland. Another potential fit is Indianapolis Colts. You know, they need a receiver. I think Michael Pittman is great.
I think they have some bigger issues to worry about, though.
They definitely have some bigger issues to worry about. But, you know, I think that Amari Cooper could definitely elevate that offense with whatever quarterback they have that isn't Carson Wentz next year. you know, that would be big for them if they could get a guy like that, because they haven't really had a great receiver room since like 2016, back when T.Y. was still good.
Yeah.
Moncrief had that good year. And
Moncrief, oh my God.
Yeah, he had one good year with Andrew Luck, but still, I mean, so it would be big if the Colts could finally get a good offense going, at least like receiver wise. And I think Cooper could definitely fit the void that they have right now. There's more teams even. I mean, we just mentioned a couple. I think those are the best fits, but I could see him going to most teams, honestly, as long as they don't have a wide receiver one already in place. So, yeah.
And the Colts, since they have a dome and a lot of their games late season are probably going to be inside, that Cooper could probably, you know, be a little more consistent if that's possible and not break down in the cold and the bad weather that he usually just struggles in. So I do like that Colts fit.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's definitely a good fit. We'll have to see what happens. We'll update you more as we hear more about the Cooper situation, but I'm sure he'll be starting and, you know, putting up some good numbers with a different team next season. Next, let's talk a little bit about the JC Jackson contract. So JC Jackson, great corner for the New England Patriots, made his first Pro Bowl this last season. You know, with a lot of corners being hurt, a lot of elite corners not playing as well this past year, JC Jackson really shined. And I'm not saying he's a top five corner, because I don't think he is, but he's definitely in that top 10 combo right now. And he wants big money. A report just came out today that he wants to be paid just like Jalen Ramsey gets paid, which is a lot. And I don't know how well that's going to fare with the, you know, the Patriots, you know, front office. I don't think that they're going to want to pay him that big of a contract, but they might have to, because he's such a good corner. They already got rid of Gilmore, you know, earlier this season, at least they got rid of Gilmore. And so, you know, really it comes down to, I think they're going to have to pay him what he wants. They may try to negotiate, get him down a little bit more.
Is he getting tagged?
I heard that he's probably not going to get tagged, although, you know, it could be a possibility.
See, with J.C. Jackson, he does get a really flashy amount of interceptions. And I think the someone you might be able to compare him to is Xavien Howard, although I think Xavien Howard is definitely better in coverage because I'm not sure that J.C. Jackson is this premier cover man that you might want to be paying, that you would want to be paying Jalen Ramsey money to. Because if I'm the Patriots and J.C. Jackson walks into my office saying, make me the highest paid corner in the NFL, all I'm going to be thinking of, I'm just going to be replaying this one game in my head over and over again. It was the second Buffalo game from the 2020 season. Stephon Diggs victimized J.C. Jackson. And with games like that, he's not, obviously no one's perfect, but there have been other games where he hasn't performed that well in coverage. And to me, it's just, I don't think he's top corner in the game money worth that. So I think you do everything you can to re-sign him, but at a certain price, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. I don't think he's top corner money. He shouldn't be the highest paid corner in the game or in the league, at least right now. He did definitely have his best year ever. He wasn't completely locked down, like you said. His interception numbers are flashy. That's his main thing. I mean, he's had 17 in the last 2 years, which is ridiculous. I don't know if that leads the league, but it's one of the highest numbers if it's not. And this year, he led the league in passes defensed with 23. He also had a forced fumble and was second team all pro. So, yeah, I mean, he had a great year, but I just think it's too early to be paying him that kind of money, especially when he's not a lockdown guy. I would avoid it if I were the Patriots. But you know, like I said, I mean, they don't really have the best corners right now. Besides, I mean, he's great, but I don't know if they can afford losing him right now if they can't get, you know, an immediate replacement that's at least, you know, close to his level or decent, you know. And so I think they may be forced to pay him if this whole situation goes down. And I just doubt it'll be that crazy Jalen Ramsey contract, like, you know, like he
I
wants.
agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll end up getting it, at least not from the Patriots.
Yeah, he won't. I don't think there's any way that Bill Belichick's gonna let that happen, or the front office in general is gonna let that happen. So but yeah, we'll update you more on that too as that evolves. And the next thing we want to talk about a little bit is Aaron Rodgers. Do you want to go ahead and start out with this, Alex?
There's been a lot of things coming out about Aaron Rodgers recently. I've been ignoring them for the most part because I'm really tired of this whole situation. First, it's Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play in Green Bay. Oh, Aaron Rodgers does want to play in Green Bay. Oh, he's staying. He's not staying. Ooh, he wants to be the highest paid player of all time. Ooh, he doesn't want to be the highest paid player of all time. Ooh, everyone hates Aaron Rodgers. Everyone loves Aaron Rodgers. It's just so many things that are coming out. You can't really believe any one thing. Because 10 minutes later, something that completely contradicts it is going to come out. But it's just, I personally, my belief is that Aaron Rodgers is going to be staying. I thought that all season, except, you know, maybe here and there, I changed my mind a little bit. But generally, I feel like Aaron Rodgers was always going to be a Packer, at least for this upcoming season. And I don't think anything has changed.
From what I've seen and heard so far, I agree with you. I had him leaving a couple weeks ago, maybe like a month ago, but Packers organization front office has come out and said we want Aaron back next season. I think they're gonna do and try everything that they can to get him back. I mean, he's two-time MVP in the last two seasons. Still the best quarterback in the league. I mean, debatable, him and Mahomes, obviously, but Rodgers is top two or three quarterback in the league, undebatably. Right now, even at his old age, I mean, he still has a couple of years left that are definitely going to be elite seasons by what we've seen the last two seasons. So, definitely still a very valuable player. And the Packers would be screwed if they got rid of him. So, not got rid of him. If they couldn't get him back, they'd be screwed.
Yeah, Jordan
So,
Love was it was not pretty this season against Kansas
yeah,
City.
it was ugly. It was very ugly. So,
Yeah.
and something that was funny, Charles Barkley said that Aaron Rodgers is like a pretty girl who needs to constantly be told that that they're pretty. He said that other analysts and, you know, sports commentators are saying that Aaron Rodgers is selfish. I get Aaron Rodgers' stance. I get why he wants to be, you know, the highest paid player in the league. You know, by performance standards, he deserves it.
Well, no, he
But at the
doesn't want to
same
be paid the highest paid performer, highest paid player in the league. Or does he? Maybe not, but maybe he does. Like, it just,
it's a lot.
Sign your extension already.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. I'm also tired of the situation, but more so, I kind of just want to know what's going to happen. Like, I don't care about all this filler stuff. I just want to know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, do something.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. We'll update on that, but I think, you know, we're more so going to wait to hear the final decision or the final verdict on the situation, because there's not much more to say. I mean, it's just going to be continued back and forth. Is he staying? Is he going? Blah, 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 until we actually hear a decision. So
right, it's not going to stop.
Yeah. But that's our thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. Next, we have the Cardinals, who extended both Cliff Kingsbury and their GM. And I just want to say first off that their GM made some great moves the last, you know, what are you going to say?
Steve Kahn.
He's made some great moves for the last couple of years. I mean, he's drafted good players. You know, obviously the Cardinals had one of their first good teams in the last 5, 6, 7 years. They finally made the playoffs again. And, you know, the team's looking up. I mean, they had a bad playoff performance, but definitely I do see why he got extended. He's a great GM, and the Cardinals look like they have a bright future in front of them if they can get things going correctly. I just don't like Cliff Kingsbury. I don't think he's a great coach. He wasn't a good college coach. I was saying it for the, you know, this first year or two in Arizona, that he didn't look like a good coach. The team didn't look good. His play calling was bad. You know, we talked about this, Alex, in fantasy. Yeah. We both had Edmonds in fantasy as a running back. We also
had Connor too. Cardinals running backs in fantasy football.
Kenyon Drake. I mean, there's just
Cardinals running backs.
No, I'm just saying him and the offense, it was so bad because you have all these talented running backs who look good in certain scenarios, and then he's calling the wrong plays. He's giving them the same run up the middle every time where they're getting stuffed, when these guys could easily take it to the outside for 5 yards or 6 yards most plays. I mean, you know, we saw it for 2 years in a row, and he even misused D-Hop, I mean, on offense. The defense, don't even get me started on how bad the defense was before this year, but offense, you know, they were misusing D-Hop. I mean, there was a lot of bad things going on in Arizona before this season. And then even this year, I mean, the performance in the playoffs doesn't give me much hope with Cliff Kingsbury. I think Kyler played bad, but I would attribute a lot of that loss to Cliff, in my opinion. Yeah.
I wouldn't say a lot, because I think Kyler Murray definitely deserves a pretty large amount of the blame.
Well, Kyler played bad, but the play calling was awful.
A bit of an understatement.
The play calling was awful. Both of them were awful, but the play calling was almost or equally as awful as Kyler was, in my opinion. And I think that it needs to be noted that, you know, they're sticking with Cliff, at least with this contract. It's going to be 2027. I don't like that. I think he's a bottom 10 coach in the league. Maybe he'll get things together, but for right now, from what I've seen from him, I think that's a bad move.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I saw this headline. I mean, the Steve Keim extension makes sense because, like you said, he has made some great moves. He's had some misses too, like Josh Rosen, but he did, you know, get a second round pick out of him after that and managed to get Kyler Murray, which, I mean, number one overall, it's kind of hard to mess up. But anyway, I thought Cliff Kingsbury was a lot closer to being on the hot seat than he was to an extension, like 10 times closer to being on the hot seat.
Yep.
And so seeing him extended like that makes me really question things. I think that maybe it could have been to please Kyler Murray, because, you know, that's Kyler Murray's boy. That was the whole thing that was being talked about when they got both of them, because they were high school coach and quarterback, and they're really close. So I think that maybe after all the Kyler Murray drama that happened in the last couple of weeks, maybe they did that to please him and to keep him happy with them, so he doesn't, you know, force a trade, even though that's a lot harder to do in the NFL. But yeah, like you said, he's had all these interesting players that you could do a lot of creative stuff on, like Rondale Moore, Chase Edmonds, Christian Kirk even. And he just, it's the most bland offense you've ever seen. It's runs up the middle and then like streaks. All they ever do with Hopkins is throw it up to him. And like, there's no creativity in the offense. And that's what Kingsbury is supposed to do. He's supposed to bring this creative college system over to the NFL. And he's done quite the opposite, if you ask me. So I don't see why they did it unless Kyler Murray's emotions are involved.
I do get what you're saying there. I think it's very likely that his emotions are involved. Although at the same time, you know, you see these extensions, you know, get done and then there's still no news about Kyler. There was actually an interview with Cliff, I think right after he got that extension. And, you know, Kyler said actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
You know, the reporters asked the agent said that. Oh, well, yeah, the agent statement, it said that. Basically, Kyler reiterating what Kyler thought. The reporter asked Cliff, like, have you talked to Kyler? Have you guys been in contact with Kyler? And they said, no, I haven't spoken to him since the offseason started. So, yeah, there's that too. I mean, it's just a rough situation with Kyler. I'm sure we'll hear more about Kyler coming soon. I mean, I'm sure they'll figure something out. But, yeah. That's the Cardinals situation. Very quickly, Tyreek Hill's looking to get an extension. I think we both know that that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not giving him up.
I mean, you're not going to give up the fastest player and fastest receiver in the league who's just electrifying. I mean, they need him in that offense. There's no way they're not extending him.
Huge thing that makes that offense go.
Yeah. So Hill's going to get extended. I don't think we need to talk more about that. And the last thing we have before we get to worst to first is the Washington Commanders and their search for a quarterback. So the Commanders contacted every NFL team, or at least every team with a quarterback that they like, and they asked them, what would it take to get this quarterback? And this included the Kansas City Chiefs. They asked the Chiefs, what for Mahomes? Just imagine how that call would go down.
Look, I mean, no. Hold. You can't hate on the Commanders for this. Shoot or shoot.
I'm not hating. Shoot, I'm just saying shoot. It's just so ridiculous. Like, just thinking about it.
All right, but look. Theoretically, if you call the Commanders, or the Chiefs as Washington, if you call the Chiefs and you're like, all right, my man, what do you want for Patrick Mahomes? And they say, tell you what, I'll take 4 first-round picks, Chase Young and McLaurin. And you're like, that seems like a good deal. And you're like, okay, we just got Patrick Mahomes. Wouldn't it be better to have Patrick Mahomes than to never have had the opportunity to get Patrick Mahomes?
I mean, that's fair, but like, it's just like, when you think, like, I don't even know what kind of deal it would take.
Right,
like,
I just came up with something ridiculous.
Yeah, but like, I mean, even that, like, that's too much giving up for any team just because, like, that would hurt your team. And then at the same time, like, if you're the Chiefs, you just aren't trading Mahomes for anything. Right. You could offer your next 50 first-round picks, and it's like, I don't know, because I think we could win more Super Bowls with Mahomes. But like, so, I mean, it's just crazy to think about that an actual phone call went down about this. But, yeah, shoot.
I would like to hear the conversation.
Same. I want to know what was said. I mean, probably, you know, got laughed at once they asked the question. But I mean, to be fair, that's the right tactic. Go after every quarterback you want, because, you know, when you're in a market for a quarterback, when you have a good young team who needs a quarterback, I mean, every chance you could get to get one, you got to take it. So I like the initiative, at least. Hopefully they don't get one as an Eagles fan.
They did make a more legitimate offer to Seattle. They reportedly offered multiple first round picks, which I am guessing means 2 for Russell Wilson. But
I heard it was 3. I might be wrong. I heard it was 3. I might be wrong though. It was multiple, you know.
2. Yeah, the report said multiple, but obviously that was turned down because Russell Wilson is not on Washington at this current moment. And I got to say, Washington would be pretty scary with Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Because Washington has some solid receivers. They have a decent-ish offensive line. They have a very good defense, or at least a potentially very good defense. And they play in a weak division. So I think that Washington is very easily 10-11 wins with Russell Wilson, at least.
And they're going to make the playoffs. I mean,
well, yeah, that was implied.
Yeah. Yeah. So just every year they'll make the playoffs with Russell Wilson. One thing I want to say, not really with the Commanders, with Russell Wilson more so, a lot of people are talking about his age. And like, I think he's washed because of this injury. That's ridiculous. I mean, obviously we need to see him play a little bit more just to make sure he actually isn't washed. But like, come on, come on, really? Like, people are just disregarding how good of a quarterback Russell Wilson is after one off year when a lot of things didn't go right that were out of his control. And I don't think the Eagles should trade for him, but I think that if you're a team who's in a position to maybe, you know, make the playoffs and win a lot of games, if you get a good quarterback, you need to trade for Russell Wilson if you can. If the opportunity presents itself and the Seahawks are willing to give him up.
If you feel like your team is ready to win now, then you have to get Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you saw what happened.
Like, you have to make your best attempt at it.
Yeah, I mean, you do. And Russ is much better than Stafford, I think, when they're fully healthy. So, yeah. Just wanted to say that because a lot of people are saying some really questionable things on the internet and making me mad. So,
I mean, look. You can't doubt everything you see on the internet. Everything on there is true. So I don't know what you're talking about. Everyone knows that. That's common knowledge.
Let's start worst to first, Alex. Let's just get rolling on that. Okay, so worst to first, if you did not listen to our last episode, basically – we take the worst team in every division. We did the AFC last time, so go check that out if you can. And we take that team, we go over basically the perfect offseason, the free agents that they can sign, some trades that they can make maybe, players that they could draft. We go over what the team needs, how they did this year, and how we think we could turn them into a good team or maybe the best in their division. So that's what we're doing today. We're doing it with the NFC. And the first team we're going to start out with is the New York Giants. And this is a team, if you've been following the podcast, that I thought was going to be good this year or last year. So clearly that is not the case if we're talking about them as the worst team in the division. The Giants were 4-13. Their offense
was going to go 11-5.
Stop. Just stop. It was actually 11-6. But anyway, they were 4-13. They had one of the worst offenses in the league, bunch of injuries. Their offensive line was ranked like bottom five by every major ranker for offensive linemen. Like this year, it was ranked bottom five in every metric. So first off, if I'm the New York Giants, I am going after offensive line by any means possible. It's going to need to happen. And I think the main way that they're going to go after offensive linemen is in the draft. There are good offensive linemen in free agency, but I just don't think it's that reasonable for them to get a lot of those guys. I think, you know, they have picks 5 and 7. So I think that's where they're going to go after an offensive lineman. And when it comes down to it, I think there's going to be a lot of good guys there. Evan Neal's probably gone before them. But if I'm the Giants, I'm looking after Ikem Ekwonu. I think Ikem Ekwonu's great from NC State. He's 6'4". He's pretty polished. I think he would fit in right along with the Giants offensive line. You know, I like Andrew Thomas a lot, but Ikem Ekwonu is easily the second or maybe even as good as Andrew Thomas, you know, best guard on that line. And you could play him attack. You could play him anywhere if you want to, not center, but you could play him anywhere else. So that's one guy I really like. And then another guy that I like is Charles Cross, who's a tackle from Mississippi State. I don't think that they're going to draft him, but that's just one guy who I think could fit very well if they play him on the opposite side of Andrew Thomas. So definitely look after offensive line. I'll let you talk a little bit because I just spent like a minute or two talking about Giants.
I do share the same sentiment with you that they need to focus on their line if they want Danny Dimes to succeed. The way that he was drafted 6th overall, and he was supposed to be a franchise quarterback, and he just hasn't. You have some free agents that you might want to look at re-signing, like Lorenzo Carter, Evan Engram, maybe, depending on what he could get, maybe a very strong maybe. Jabril Peppers potentially.
I think they re-sign him. He's still young. Still, he's 26. His contract won't be too big. I think Jabril's coming back.
Jalen Smith was on the Giants. Okay, that's news to me. you're not really losing many key players in free agency, which allows you to focus more on improving your team rather than trying to retain everybody. So, like you said, I'm looking at Ikem Ekwonu. at fifth overall if I'm the Giants, or Kyle Hamilton. Ideally, those are your two picks, Ike Mukwonu and Kyle Hamilton, unless you're making some kind of trade down for a QB needy team, maybe Denver. But those are going to be your two first-round picks. You also probably want to look at giving James Bradbury a running mate on the defense at corner, since your number two corner right now is Adoree Jackson, and I'm not really sold on him. You did draft Aaron Robinson last year, who showed some promise, but maybe you look to get someone in the high second that would help your team a lot more. Xavier McKinney is a very good safety. He really came into his own at the end of this year, and you're definitely not replacing him, but Kyle Hamilton could fit in very nicely with any defense. He's more of a safety linebacker hybrid that could play both, more of a box safety. And so you're not worried about fit with Kyle Hamilton. At that point, you're drafting best player overall. You could look to get a Jermaine Johnson at seven, but that seems a little high to me. Maybe you're trading down and getting him, but if Thibodeau or Hutchinson falls you at five, then I would probably take him over Mukwonu. But that's pretty much the key to the Giants. Just improve your trenches on both sides, because I don't think there's a worthy replacement for Danny Dimes in this draft. And next year, if you're still not good with Daniel Jones, then you're in prime position to get a quarterback.
One thing I was going to say, actually, is that I think that taking a corner with one of their first two picks, quarterback wouldn't be that reasonable. Unreasonable. Sorry, I don't know why I just did that, but unreasonable. It wouldn't be too unreasonable. Daniel Jones is awful. I don't think there's many good quarterbacks to fill the void of, you know, an empty quarterback position. You know, that they could try to get like a veteran who's a backup right now, like someone like Minshew or, you know, someone else like that. But honestly, Malik Willis is not that bad. I would be fine. I wouldn't be mad if they drafted him. He's not the perfect fit for the Giants, I don't think, at all. But he's definitely a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, in my opinion. And he's looked really good so far in, you know, pre-draft workouts and the combine. So, you know, I do like Malik Willis. And also, I want to say Kyle Hamilton, I don't love that pick. I love Kyle Hamilton. I just think the Giants have more pressing needs. And safety isn't that – I mean, safety is really not a highly sought-after position, just because – you know, you can find decent safeties a lot later. So while Kyle Hamilton is maybe the best player in the draft, I don't think they're going to take him. You know, we'll see what they do, but I just don't think they're going to end up with him. But I do agree with everything else you said pretty much.
Oh my gosh, Michael, I've totally forgot about the key to the Giants' problems.
Yeah.
There is one glaring solution for all of their issues that will make them an instant contender.
What are you going to say?
I think you know what I'm going to say.
I think I know what you're going to say. Say it.
Well, since they have had all of these quarterback issues in the last few years, especially with Danny Dimes being a little bit underwhelming after you drafted him sixth overall, why not improve your chances with getting a quarterback that was drafted second overall?
I knew what you were going to say. Carson Wentz. As crazy as it sounds, I know you're joking. I don't hate it. I don't hate the fit. I don't think it would work out.
I told
you,
I've made this point already. I love the fit. The fans are very endearing. They're going to make him feel very comfortable when he performs below satisfaction. They're going to make him not feel hated at all. They're very nice people up in New York, don't you know?
Carson Wentz out,
the talent level on the offensive line is fantastic. So he'll be nice and protected. He's got his friend Ben Simmons over across town, or rather, no, because it's Brooklyn in New York and they play in Jersey, but very close proximity to his boy Ben Simmons. And it just seems like a perfect situation for him.
changing the subject a little bit. I actually, you know, I talked about the Giants. I liked them a lot last year. Two other things I think they need to do. One is prioritize Kadarius Toney into this offense. I think he could be an incredible receiver if they utilize him correctly. And then the second thing I think they need to do is trade Saquon Barkley. I don't know what kind of deal they're going to get, but
not much.
I think they need to trade Saquon Barkley.
Not much.
They need to get rid of him. It's just not working out anymore.
I agree with you. I also don't think we're going to get anything valuable.
Maybe. If he can prove, I mean, he can't really prove that he can't stay, can't not get injured, whatever. Some team may still want him for like maybe a mid-round draft pick.
I mean,
I don't know.
I would give up a
fourth. That's pretty much all for the New York Giants, though. Let's go to our next team. Detroit Lions, they have a lot to fill. I mean, even, you know, last year, they played hard. You know, they fought a lot, but they still had a lot to fill. When it comes to free agents, pretty much all of their receivers except Amon-Ra are gone. And that's probably a good thing because they have a lot of young guys who aren't very good starting for them this year. So that's a good thing. You know, they have some good defensive players who are leaving. Tracy Walker had a pretty good year. You know, there's some other guys. Let me see this. Nick Williams is gone. He's 32. So, I mean, I don't think that you're going to try to get him back. Alex Anzalone is gone. Yeah, I think they're going to
– would be a big loss. And I'm not even kidding when I say that. Jack Fox is, like, the best punter in the league.
Yeah, they'll probably re-sign him. I don't think punter is the biggest issue
right now. Godwin Igbuike made some nice special teams play this year and also had a little bit of a role on offense as a safety. He's also a free agent. I'd look to re-sign him on a cheap deal. But like you said, outside of that, you got nothing.
There's not that many bright spots on this team right now. You have a decent O-line, actually. Jonah Jackson represent from our area. You also have, what's that guy's name? They have many good. Yes. Well, they have Taylor Decker and they have that. Their line's great. Let me look this up real quick. But their line is fantastic. It's probably their best trait right now as a team. I mean, they had multiple Pro Bowl guys over the last couple of years, and it remains their strong suit on offense. Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow. That's who I meant to say. And obviously Sewell. So, you know, those three guys are great. Sewell looked really good this year, even though he had some issues. But he looked really good. He looked the part. The line is not a worry for them. Quarterback is, but this isn't the draft to do it. I don't think Goff is your quarterback for another year. And on defense, I mean, besides Amani Oruwariye, who was really good this year, there's a lot that they need to do. So I am personally prioritizing defense in free agency, in the draft. I'm looking maybe at edge rushers that they could get. I mean, there's a lot of good guys. In free agency, you know, I think they need to get another receiver maybe. I don't think they're going to get any of the big guys, but like I could see them landing a Will Fuller in free agency.
Maybe.
Just someone, he's a fast guy. I could see them landing a Will Fuller. I think that they could easily, go after a D tackle. I know he's old, but like Linville Joseph, I could see them signing him to a small contract. He's a free agent, current free agent. Just, small things like that. And I think they really need to hit in the draft. What do you have the Lions drafting at number two? I have them getting edge hurt.
Right now. No, I think edge rusher, that's like a done deal. It's just a matter of which one it is. Hutchinson, I personally would lean that they're going to get Aiden Hutchinson, being, Michigan kid. Heisman, finalist. He had an unbelievable season. He was a killer on that line, and he just seems like a safer path to being elite, I should say, than Kayvon Thibodeau does, because he's a little more raw. But I think that in free agency, I would look to get a couple of receivers and then draft another couple of receivers, maybe look to sign a Laquan Treadwell, maybe a Ray McLeod, just some bodies, cause you have nothing at that position. And then maybe look to get a receiver like Jahan Dotson at 32nd overall with that pick you got from the Stafford trade last year. So that's really what I would do. Cause they have Hockenson. He's a very good weapon. They have Swift, who's also a very good weapon. Jamal Williams, a nice number two running back. Their defense, like you said, leaves a lot to be desired, but you're not really in the position to get a lot of defensive guys because, I mean, it's Detroit. They're not going to be – they're not a big draw, I would say. You got the number two overall pick in a year where there's no quarterback worth taking with the number two overall pick, even though that's your biggest need as a team. So that's unfortunate for them. But I would look to sign a couple receivers, maybe sign a couple defensive guys, and then draft Hutchinson, Dotson, and then fill out the rest of your team in the other rounds.
Yeah, I've seen some people mock them getting a quarterback with that 32 pick, but I don't like that.
I don't
like
think, I said, any I think of
they're keeping Goff.
I don't think any of them are going to be there.
Corral might be.
Maybe.
I don't know. I could easily see them going after like a safety.
Yeah.
As weird as that might sound with their 32 pick. Like a guy like Brisker from Penn State. He's pretty good. Daxton Hill from Michigan. Just a couple names to throw out there. They could always improve their secondary. I mean, I love Oruwariye, but other than that, those are two guys I think they could target with that 32nd overall pick. But other than that, I agree with what you said. And I think we should just move on because we pretty much covered everything with the Detroit Lions. So next, let's get into the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers looked promising in the first four games, and then Sam Darnold showed his true colors. And, you know.
Oh, that was not one of my better takes.
Yeah. I've been calling Darnold trash for a very long time, and I'm proud to say it because I think he has shown that he's not going to be an NFL starter anymore after last season. Never again. A tiger does not change its stripes. But the Panthers, they do have some young talent.
Actually, Michael, Sam Darnold is a Panther, not a Tiger.
Shut up.
He's not on the Bengals.
I know. Shut up. Anyway, they have some good young talent. Christian McCaffrey, if he could stay healthy, is incredible. We saw him in 2019.
Great.
He could be traded. Who knows?
He won't DJ be, Moore. But he should be.
Yeah, that much like Saquon, I think
McCaffrey need to give, would fetch a lot more than Saquon would.
Probably, but I think they need to give him another shot, one more year. Personally, I don't know if I would trade him right off the bat right now. DJ Moore's young. He's really good. He needs a quarterback because he's a good receiver. Well with Darnold. Yeah, he's played well with everybody he's had. But imagine if he has a real competent quarterback and offense. Like, poor guy's never seen that in his career. You know, DJ Moore, defense. They drafted J.C. Horn last year. He looked good, and then bad injury kept him out. But J.C. Horn, I think, is going to be a great corner for many years. Stephon Gilmore is a free agent, and I don't think he's going to be re-signed, although he quietly had, you know, a decent year with the Panthers. And, you know, obviously corner is still a need for them. With everything going on, they're losing Gilmore most likely, you know, corner still a need for them. Also, offensive line, they might lose their good center. What?
Your line is rough.
They have a lot of holes on this team. But the biggest hole is the quarterback. And you could talk about all these other holes. You know, they're losing Hassan Reddick also, most likely. They're losing, you know, a couple other good players. But just hole in general is quarterback. They're losing Cam, but it doesn't matter because even if they had all their quarterbacks, it doesn't matter. They just still don't have one. And I think that's their biggest.
Finally, I've been waiting for you to say that for so long.
It's their biggest need. And I don't think they're finding one in free agency. I think it's happening in the draft. They have the 6th overall pick. And I think they're drafting Kenny Pickett. I really do. I know his hands are small, but I think they're drafting Kenny Pickett.
I don't think I can definitively say that I think they're going to. I think they should. I kind of flip-flop on whether or not Kenny Pickett is the best quarterback in the draft. I'm torn between him and Willis. I definitely see the path where both of them become elite. I see the path where neither of them become elite. I think that with Malik Willis, you're looking at a lot more of a boom and bust prospect like this, whereas Kenny Pickett, you're probably looking at average to mediocre to below average, but never, you know, bottoming out the way I think Willis could. And so I think that Pickett would be the right selection for them at number 6 because he gives me kind of Joe Burrow vibes coming out, but obviously not to the same degree, because Joe Burrow was one of the best college quarterbacks of all time and had the best season for a college quarterback of all time. But I think that Pickett could definitely do a lot of really good things with Carolina, because Carolina has some really nice pieces. They got McCaffrey, like we talked about. They have DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. You don't really have much at tight end, but those guys by themselves are pretty good to begin with. And you have some nice defensive pieces, like we talked about. You have Jeremy Chinn, you have JC Horn, you have Brian Burns. You got a guy on all three levels. So I think that if they get a real quarterback, they might be a lot closer to contending than people think, especially in that division.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. The division has completely opened up now that Brady has retired. I mean, there is no definitive number one team. I think the Bucs are still the best team, but like the Saints are a dumpster fire right now. The Falcons are always a dumpster fire. And, you know, if Kyle Trask is the week one quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which I don't think he will be, but you never know, then, I mean, the Panthers could easily win this division if they get the right quarterback. I love Pickett. He's not my number one quarterback, but I do think that he could succeed with the Panthers. And just, you know, with the nature of the team, I think that they're going to take him.
See it.
Yeah, I like a lot of the stuff you said. They do have a lot of good players. I mean, Robbie Anderson was a disappointment this year, but I still think generally that their, you know, wide receiver core isn't that bad at all. And I really think that, you know, they're in the right situation for a young quarterback here. But even so, they have – I feel like they have a decent amount of cap space. Let's look here how much they have. So they're 12th right now in current cap space with $26 million. So they do have the money to get another weapon if they wanted to. Nobody crazy, but they do have the money to get someone else. I think they easily could get another weapon. I mean, it never hurts. You saw last year, you didn't think the Bengals needed another weapon, and it completely opened up that offense.
You did think that the Bengals need another weapon.
I didn't think they needed another one.
Okay, I did.
But the Panthers receiving core is even worse than the Bengals was last year when we were talking about it.
Well, no. T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd versus DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. I'd call it equal.
Robbie Anderson's probably the worst out of those guys.
No, I agree, but DJ Moore is probably the best out of those guys.
But it's close. T. Higgins is really good.
All right, whatever.
I'm just saying. It never hurts. And, you know, I think the Panthers are looking up. If they could get, you know, some decent guys in free agency all around, make their team a little bit better all around, and then get their guy at quarterback, I could easily see them going 9-8, 10-7 next season, maybe winning the division. I don't think it'll happen, but it could happen. So who knows? So that's the Carolina Panthers. And last but not least, the Seattle Seahawks were worse in their division, and largely because of Russ's injury and all the stuff that went down. But, you know, we talked a little bit about how they didn't trade Russ to the Commanders. So it's looking like he's going to remain their quarterback. What do you think the Seahawks' biggest needs at this point?
I would go comfortably offensive line and also defense just in general. They lost Shaq Griffin to the Jaguars last offseason, and that really did not help them. So you could look to get some guys in the draft defensively. You don't have your pick, which was top 10, because you traded your pick for Jamal Adams, who did not have a very good season. That's not a very good move in and of itself, especially since now you have to pay him big bucks. But you got to fill out your defense. But I think the main thing for Seattle, where we're talking about how their best situation to go back to first place is, I think Seattle has the best roster situation to get back to first place, but they also have the worst division situation to get back to first place, because you saw the NFC West sent three teams to the playoffs this year. One of them was the Super Bowl champion. The other team was in the NFC Championship. And then the Cardinals, they didn't do so hot, but, you know, still a playoff team that was undefeated for the first 7 weeks of the season. And So it's going to take a lot for Seattle to become first, just because those three teams are still so good, despite what we may have our opinions on Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals, they're still a good team. So there's always going to be some team in that division that gets left out. And this year it was Seattle. And to me, probably next year, it's either them or San Francisco, depending on how Trey Lance does. It's largely out of Seattle's control to me.
I think you can't count a team out with Russell Wilson ever. That's, I know you're not counting them out, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, one team is going to get left out every year, it seems like, because, you know, this is the best division in football. But if they make the right moves, I don't think they will, because Russell Wilson's just that good, in my opinion, that I think they can make the playoffs in any given year if the roster's just good enough. If it's just okay, then they can make the playoffs, in my opinion. But you never know. They have currently the eighth most cap, with $35 million. So, you know, they have room to work in free agency if they wanted to. And I definitely think that is an area that they're going to need to, you know, utilize, because there are plenty of holes on this team. You know, for one, safety right now. I mean, they're losing Quandre Diggs this offseason unless they try to give him a contract. And I don't know if Quandre Diggs wants to play in Seattle anymore. You know, they're losing DJ Reed, who, you know, that's not a big name, but another safety. Those are the, you know, they're two safeties. They're losing both of them. They're losing Rashad Penny, who, you know, looked like a bust because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. He hasn't been utilized until this last year, where he looked great when he was their starting running back. And Chris Carson's already just super questionable right now with all his injuries and, you know, not being able to stay on the field. So, you know, running back is, you know, you're not going to probably have the guy who you thought maybe could be your starter next year. You know, you're losing Duane Brown. He's 36. I mean, but he's their left tackle. They're losing him. I don't think they're going to be able to re-sign him, but you never know. I mean, they may try, but he's old. So, you know, and Sidney Jones. I mean, Sidney Jones, we know him as an Eagles fan, but their secondary is just going to be so bad if they can't re-sign these guys. I think they're just in general going to have to just go after secondary, because they're losing all of their guys who weren't even good to begin with. They're just going to have to, in my opinion, target defense and offensive line. And I think that's what they'll do just in general this offseason. Although, like you said, I mean, they traded away their picks for Jamal Adams. So, you know, they're not looking too hot right now. No first round pick. It's all going to have to come in free agency. And a lot of it just won't be able to happen, I don't think. I mean, they'll be able to get some players, but not the necessary ones to fill some of these holes. So just something to think about. But if Tyrann Mathieu somehow cannot make a deal with Kansas City, then that's a player that you might. Them, yeah. Yeah. You know, there's good offensive linemen, like we said. I mean, Cam Robinson, left tackle, could easily be a guy that you look to put into that left tackle situation, finally get, you know, a really good offensive lineman and fill in that Duane Brown absence. And then also, you know, Brandon Sheriff is a guy who has been great in the league for many years with Washington. I really doubt that they're going to get him back. He will be a lot of money, but if they can get him on that offensive line, Russell Wilson will be extremely happy. So those are just a couple of small moves I think they can make. But they need a lot more than small moves to fix some of these holes.
Definitely. Because it seems like this is Russell Wilson's last year with the team.
Yeah.
So not much you can do.
Yeah. I mean, if they can't sign a lot of players, another thing, they need to just run this offense more efficiently. For years, Pete Carroll has been holding Wilson back. You need to pass the ball more. I know how crazy that sounds. I know it doesn't always work. We saw in 2020, I mean, the offense kind of fell apart towards the end of the year, and that was the offense ran with Russ. But even then, I mean, I think that Russ just needs to pass the ball more, and Pete Carroll's really holding him back with his more traditional style offense.
I think that they just need to find the balance, because in a lot of years they've only ran the ball, and that ended up falling apart. And then in 2020, like you said, they only passed the ball deep. There was no intermediate plays. And that obviously didn't work either once teams figured it out. So they just got to find an actual offensive mind that can give them a balanced system that works.
I mean, through 8 weeks, they looked like an incredible team. And then, after that,
the other 8 weeks, not so much.
They couldn't change. Yeah. You know, they have the weapons. They have DK. They have Tyler Lockett. I know DK is getting a lot of flack right now, but he's still such a talented receiver. I think he will likely have a comeback season next year with over 1,000 yards, over double-digit touchdowns again. People will view him again as, you know, an elite receiver probably. So
I think they need to free DK. I think he needs a real quarterback like Jalen Hurts throwing him the ball.
I agree.
Jalen Hurts can unlock DK Metcalf.
Right. I'm currently making a list of like the 50 greatest quarterbacks of all time. And like, I was wondering if like Hurts should go over Peyton Manning.
They're very similar players. So I don't know that you can definitively make a statement that one is better than the other, but I definitely see arguments that Jalen Hurts is better than Peyton Manning all time.
Well, for me, like the thing is that like, has Peyton Manning ever ran, like had 10 rushing touchdowns in a season? And
look,
that's kind of what did it for
me. Was Peyton Manning ever the seventh seed in the NFC playoffs? I don't think so.
He was never.
He never made the seventh seed in the NFC. So obviously that propels Jalen Hurts above him.
I mean, those are some valid points. I'm going to have to think about that. Yeah, I mean, it's really too bad that, you know, the Seahawks have been deprived of great quarterback play like the Eagles have had for you know, the last year and a half with Jalen Hurts. Yeah, I mean, most teams aren't as lucky as us, but you know, that's all I can really say. In all seriousness, though, the Seahawks, there's a lot of holes to fill, but I think if the offense is run correctly, if they get a couple of the guys that we talked about, and if, you know, they don't have injuries next year, I think they probably will make the playoffs in Russ's last season with the Seahawks. And I don't think they'll make it very far in the playoffs, but that's just my opinion. So, yeah, that is it for the worst of worst series. I enjoy doing that a lot. I think a lot of the things we said are pretty accurate. I mean, who knows if the teams and front offices are going to actually go through with a lot of the things we said, but they should if they want to win. And a lot of teams have, you know, the resources to do so. So we'll see if they actually utilize it or if they fail and choke and continue to be the worst in their division. Who knows? A lot of these teams likely will be next year. So we'll have to see. Like I said, we will continue updating you with more news about free agency, combine, Aaron Rodgers, Amari Cooper, Kyler Murray, anything that happens over these next, you know, the next week to month, basically, we will be covering it with free agency stuff. So just stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening, watching, whatever you're doing. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And please come back for more. Like I said, we'll always be here. Bye-bye.